This morning we're going to take a few minutes and look at chapter 11, verse 29 through 32 of Luke 11. Did I say chapter 29? Anyway, verse 29 through 32. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that orchestrates our gatherings. Lord, you choose the songs, you choose the scriptures, you choose the prayers, you choose to direct us, to speak to us. Lord, most of the time it's a still small voice. We can easily miss you if we don't listen. But you're there. You're there in this beautiful world around us. Paul told us in Romans, God, that the world is a witness of you all around us, if we will see it. Now, Lord, by your word, this full revelation that points us to Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, let us hear what you say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked some about this matter of a generation that he's referring to. He's not talking to just all the people necessarily who lived there during that period of years or that generation. But he's speaking to a people specifically who, as we said earlier, have become so caught up in their religion, in their peripheral things, compared to eternal life, to God, that when Christ showed up, when God came with flesh on, they would not receive him. They are seeking a sign. If you read this same passage in the Gospel of Matthew, you see that these religious leaders, these Pharisees who blamed him, who accused him of casting out demons by Satan's power instead of Holy Spirit's power. They want now to ask for a sign since they're kind of backed into a corner. And he has made these previous statements that kind of pulled back the curtains and exposed the fallacies of their positions. Now they want a sign. It never ceases to amaze me, even when Jesus is dealing with these religious leaders who are rejecting him, who are resisting him, who are looking for opportunity to do away with him, he is still speaking, even when it sounds sternly, he still includes an opportunity for the grace of God to be received. He's standing in the middle of a large crowd now. This conflict and batter between him and the Pharisees. And once the demonized person was set free and could see and hear, he's drawn a crowd. And so he speaks up. He says, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign." Well, now, in the first place, Signs are not sinful. The Scripture speaks a lot of signs. You remember Gideon? God had spoken to Gideon. God gave him God chose him to raise him up and gave him a calling and gave him a job to do, you might say. Gideon was a man of faith. Gideon did believe God. But he was called to do an impossible task. He was not in unbelief, but he was seeking sincerely to know indeed that it was God's call and to strengthen his faith. And God gave him a sign, not just one, remember? King Hezekiah, God sent Isaiah to him when he was sick and virtually on his deathbed, and he had prayed and sought God, and God sent Isaiah the prophet, and God said, I'm going to heal you. And then he wanted to believe it. I think it was in his heart to believe it. He had certainly prayed for it. But he wanted a sign. He wanted something to solidify, to strengthen his faith. And God didn't resist that. God was not angry about it. His heart was sincere in seeking God. That's not the case with these Pharisees. And so God gave him a sign. In fact, God gave him a choice of a sign. He said, you can have the shadow back 10 steps down or forward in time, or you can have the shadow on the sundial, or the shadow from the sun back 10 steps backward. And Hezekiah said, well, it wouldn't be that hard for it to go forward. He said, send it backward. So God backed up the sunshade on the steps, 10 steps. I would say God wanted him to believe, wouldn't you? God was interested, even in signs, to strengthen and bolster faith. God is more concerned about the success of your faith and my faith than we are. So he's very willing and very interested in strengthening our faith. And the Scripture speaks much. In fact, the Scripture says that we are to be, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are to be signs and wonders for God among the people. And that's what's happening here. Many people have seen a sign, have seen a miracle. And even in this context, and because of this man being set free, many people are coming to faith in Christ. But Jesus says no sign will be given to these Pharisees, to this generation who have chosen religion and self-righteousness over relationship and faith in God. But as I said, he always has that grace word there. He says no sign will be given except. There's an except sign. And that except sign, he said, is the sign of Jonah the prophet. Well, why does he say except? Because he wants them to know that there is a sign. Here is something you can see and you can believe. And if you will, you can come into relationship with God. Except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, in other words, just like Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. We're going to come back to Jonah in a few minutes. Then he says, the Queen of the South, she's also called in the story about her in 1 Kings, the Queen of Sheba. Sheba is probably Yemen, present-day Yemen, or possibly Ethiopia, or both of them, part of them. He says, the Queen of the South will rise up. If you want to read that, by the way, it's in 1 Kings chapter 10. Don't read it now. He says, the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, this queen, she didn't want to, you know, she had heard about Solomon and all of his wisdom, but I don't believe she traveled this over 1,700 miles from her kingdom to Israel because she just wanted to be entertained by this smart guy. I believe she traveled that distance because burning in her heart was this God-shaped vacuum, and she had heard that Solomon was someone who could answer her questions and hopefully by that come to a relationship and faith with God. That was her reason for that trip. That's why she came. And she was that hungry. She was that seeking. Now, she was extremely wealthy and powerful. She was the queen of quite a kingdom. When you go back and read that passage, you'll find that she gave Solomon quite a gift. And I'm going to tell you what, in order for her to get that gift, 1,700 miles, she had quite an army. She wasn't looking for riches or entertainment or more prosperity or something like that. She was hungry to know. Apparently she had heard much about the God of Israel. And after coming all that distance and asking all the questions she could think of, the scripture says Solomon answered every one of them. She didn't clap her hands in entertainment. She came to faith, I believe. 1 Kings 10:9, she responds after all of her questions has been answered, and I believe her heart satisfied in the measure of faith that she could come into in Jehovah. She said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delights in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Jesus said she was that hungry to know God. Not merely religion. I'm sure they had their own religion in her land. But it hadn't satisfied her heart. So she traveled that great distance with quite an entourage. As I said, you don't carry the gift she carried to Solomon that far across that kind of territory without quite an army. But she went to all that trouble because she was that hungry. And that's what Jesus is extolling. He said, she will rise in the judgment and condemn this generation. The men, the people of this generation, those who are satisfied with religion and their rules and their self-righteousness and look down their holier than thou noses at the Gentiles. Jesus wasn't pleased with that at all, but he extends an invitation. Even in this warning that he is given, he extends an invitation. He says she will be a witness at the judgment. Her willingness expressed in her long journey will condemn those unbelievers who have Christ, God, standing right before them with skin on, as they say. And they couldn't see him or wouldn't. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, "He came to his own, and his own received him not," or did not receive him. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name." Now I want to come back to Jonah. Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites. Jonah was used by God. Jonah was sent by God to the city of Nineveh. Tremendous, giant, powerful city that was tremendously evil and wicked and dark. And God sent him there. God sent him with to be assigned. God wanted to get the word, get the message, offer grace to Nineveh. So he sent Jonah. And I believe it was the miracle of grace in Jonah's life that the Holy Spirit used to bring conviction across the whole city of Nineveh, from the king down all the way to the cattle. The reason I say that is whenever the king repented and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes, they fasted for a day, and he said, let not even the animals drink or eat that day. And sprinkle ashes. What brought such conviction? I mean, it was a revelation of the loving kindness of God that Jonah was a sign of. Well, how can that be? Well, in the first place, God chose someone to go tell them, to go warn them. And it was a warning. It was a warning of impending judgment. But that warning was given to bring repentance. That warning was given as an opportunity to turn to God. And Jonah, when he gets called, what did he do? He ran the other way. He refused to obey. He refused to share God's heart for his enemies, the Ninevites. And you know the story. He's out on the ship trying to go to Tarshish, trying to get away and not do what God says. And God sends a storm and there's nothing else to do. And all the sailors know it's got to be because somebody's on there, because it's not changing, it's not breaking. There's somebody on the ship that God's upset with. And so Jonah fishes up, and so, of course, they throw him overboard. And when they do, the storm stops. And you know the story, a great fish swallows Jonah. Everybody says a whale. Maybe the whale, who knows what it was. It was a fish big enough to swallow him and carry him for 3 days and spit him out again. But regardless of all of the scientific part of it, he goes through that experience and he gets to Nineveh finally. He decides he's going to obey, and he gets to Nineveh and he walks part of the way into the city. It's a 3-day journey across the city. It's that big. He walks a day into it and he says, "You're toast." It's whatever it was, 30 days, 40 days. Nineveh shall be destroyed. I don't believe that was his only message. I don't believe that's the reason that the king of Nineveh repented. I believe Jonah told his story. And I believe the fact that God cared enough about a black, dark, evil city called Nineveh to choose a Jewish prophet to send with a word of warning and call to repentance. And then when that prophet refused to go and tried to run the other way, that prophet told them, "I tried to run away, and God sent a storm and sent a fish, and I got to live inside a fish's belly or wherever it was in that fish for 3 days, and then I got spit out on the shore, and here I am. And I'm warning you, the direction you're going in is going to bring destruction. Even after that second sending, after taking the fish detour, I'm here because God cares about you. Because God loves you. Because God doesn't want you to be destroyed. And I don't even like you. But I'm here because He loves you. And I had to come. Even with that second sending, God was that persistent. I believe that's the message of the gospel that Jonah understood and brought to Nineveh, of Jehovah, of God Almighty, through His people Israel, through His prophet Jonah. Jonah's disobedience and rebelling, running from God's call and God's will, carry dire consequences. Storm at sea and getting thrown overboard and swallowed by the great fish. And if you read Matthew's account of this passage in Luke, Jesus says that Jonah is a sign to these people also. As he was in the whale's belly for 3 days. And then came out. He is a sign of Christ who would go in to the grave, having died for us, having become our rebellion, having become our disobedience. He took upon himself the consequences of that. The whale's belly, you might say, that were the consequences of our rebellion. And bore it to the full. And then rose again. And he says, there's a sign for you. That's the sign that you can see and you will see once I have risen. And this generation, these in this generation who have refused to believe, if they will believe, like Nineveh, they can be saved. They can be forgiven. I find that such a message of grace and an encouragement to me. God doesn't waste anything. Jonah goes through that event. Who'd have ever thought of anything like that? I mean, who could even imagine that for a story? He gets swallowed. I mean, he goes through that whole deal, running from God, gets swallowed by a fish. There he's praying inside the fish. If you read the book of Jonah, you find out that's what he did during those 3 days. He prayed. While the seaweed was wrapped around his head, he said. He prayed. Then when he acknowledged that salvation was of the Lord, that God's a God of salvation, that God saves the fish big enough. And then Jesus takes that story of rebellion and disobedience and consequences and transforms it into a message of the grace of God, of his death, 3 days, his burial, and his resurrection. God doesn't waste anything, even our mistakes. He is so gracious that he works in it all to his glory. He says, the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment, just like he said about the queen of the south. There is a judgment coming. Jesus said, greater than the queen of the south, greater than Jonah, is standing there in their presence before that generation. The very Son of God, Jesus Christ, offering them salvation. Those who reject him will stand before the judgment throne of God. There is a judgment coming. This generation, what he's referring to here, are people who are outside of the faith, people who have not trusted in him yet. And for those who reject Christ, they will stand before the judgment throne of God. And be shown ample witness, because God is just and holy in their punishment of hell given for those who refuse to receive and trust in his beloved Son that he gave because he loved so much the world. He said there's going to be a judgment and there will be witnesses. It won't be God. In fact, the scripture says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But he is just, and he is holy, and he has offered, just as he is to them, with these two witnesses, a sign to build their faith, to bring them through faith into the door of relationship with God through Jesus Christ. text, even in this warning, he is extending God's gracious invitation to believe and come to him. It's exactly what John said in John 3, "For God so loved the world." Actually, Jesus made the statement. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned." Is not condemned. So let us be encouraged by these two witnesses. But our hunger will be satisfied. The Queen of South found what she was looking for. And that every part of our lives, even our missteps, God in his grace can redeem and use and bring us and others to him in relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for this passage, and the expression of your grace. And even in this warning, Lord, this warning, like Jonah gave to Nineveh, there's the call and invitation to faith by grace. We thank you. Let your name be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name we pray.